are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Monday, January 25th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is trying not to panic.
Yeah, that got ugly very quickly.
Yeah, not a good last game, but all is not lost. The season is young, so we carry on. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all the Flyers news and games this season. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We're your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. All right, so today we are going to take a look back at Saturday night's game versus Boston. We'd like to forget it, but we got to talk about it. And then there are some more NHL news that are tangentially affecting the Flyers, but we should dig into some of that. And then we'll talk a little bit about the NWHL season that just kicked off. And of course, we'll have our nemesis of the week. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those fun places where you get your podcasts. So subscribe and you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right. So the Flyers lost pretty handily to the Bruins on Saturday night. And so there's a lot to get into about it. The score was 6-1. It just felt like it was getting worse and worse as the game progressed. A couple pregame notes. They've been playing salary cap games with Sam Moran sending him back down to the taxi squad on Friday and back up Saturday. We've talked about this before. I think it's kind of mean to those players because it basically means they get paid less for that one day just to bank some cap space for the team. But, you know, that's, I guess, what the union negotiated. So we learned that Mark Friedman was okay to go for Saturday's game. And I think, you know, one of the key points leading into the game, which actually is relevant for the outcome of the game as well. From the Flyers official website, five things, I think, you know, this is something that we had noticed, but, you know, it was good to see highlighted that the Flyers up until that point had allowed 30 or more shots in all five of their first games, including their last two games, giving up 40 shots to their opponent. They allowed the second most shots in the first period with 64 and the most shots in the third period at 69, which is not nice.
I know. I was going to say, leave it to the Flyers to deprive us of saying something's nice at 69. But yeah, that's actually horrible and very concerning.
Yeah, so, you know, going into the game against the Bruins Saturday night, that's obviously something we were looking for in terms of shot suppression. Now, the Bruins got a grand total of 26 shots on goal, which, you know, if you look at that on its face, looks like some improvement there. The problem is that six of them went in, and then the Flyers on their own end only got 17 shots on goal.
Yeah. What a horrible game. Like, I can't even think about it rationally besides just saying it was such a bad game. I mean, that's an improvement, I guess, when you look at it, like trying to find some silver linings.
I know. And then if you look at sort of the high danger aspect of the shots on goal, the Bruins had 8 and the Flyers only had 4. So it's like they're allowing more high danger chances for their opponents, even though they were suppressing some of the weaker shots. They were allowing the stronger shot opportunities to get through, and then they weren't able to generate anything on their own side of the puck.
Yeah, you just can't let your opponent double you up on on high danger shots. And that's just so surprising because I never felt like that was something that the Flyers had a problem with last season.
Yeah, I think that is like the key point that we're looking at the Flyers with right now. Again, you know, six games into the season, it's still early, no preseason, you know, to tune things up. But at this point, like, the Flyers need to get it together. But the problem here is, at least from my perspective, is that they're running into problems with things that they pretty much had dialed last year, that the weaknesses that they had last year are for the most part still around, but now they just seem so much worse because some of the things that they were doing well, the Flyers are not doing well right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what you saw on Saturday. And the fact that, you know, like you said, one of the highlights of last season was that they fixed the PK. And yeah, I don't know if I would say the PK's fixed. There are definitely some issues with it right now.
There absolutely are. And that game was atrocious from a penalty kill perspective. Bruins scored on 3 of 4 power plays, which is completely unacceptable. I think it speaks partially to a PK problem, partially to the defensive problem overall, which, you know, we've got to dig into that a little bit more and will. But what do you think was going wrong with the PK?
You know, a part of me wanted to say, like, you know, the loss of Sean Couturier is definitely felt in the PK. But, I mean, we have some reliable forwards that should be able to help out. And, like, we're really not clearing the net. You just can't allow that to anybody, but especially not Boston. I also think that they're just having problems clearing the puck out of their zone. And normally what we saw last year was that instead of just clearing it, you know, they would get an offensive chance by, you know, Hayes skating it out, having a breakaway, or maybe a 2-on-1. But I don't know. At this point, I don't even know if I want them to risk doing that because it could easily bite them.
Yeah, I think that you have a really good point there, especially, you know, the Flyers aren't really providing themselves with enough options where I feel like, you know, they're being forced into some stretch passes because they don't have shorter passes available to them to help them clear the zone, that, you know, people are allowing the opposing team to get in their lanes and cut off those options. And I think that, you know, that's not going to help you when you're trying to get out of your defensive zone.
No, it's not at all.
So another issue, well, I say issue, I don't think it's a long-term issue. I think it's because of the defensive play that we've been talking about. But Carter Hart has not performed at quite the elite level that we're expecting from him. And, you know, he got really freaking angry at one point toward the end of the game and, you know, showed some anger, which is something that we hadn't really seen from him to a large degree.
I mean, that just shows you how bad the night was. And, you know, while I don't think that Carter was at his best in the on Saturday, I don't think that a lot of the goals were his fault. And like you said, the defensive breakdowns in front of him, like, I don't know. I think that every goalie is going to have an off night, but, like, the team did nothing to help him out. And there were times, and there are times when, you know, Hart isn't at his best, but the, you know, the offense is clicking for the Flyers. So they're able to get Saturday night. You just didn't see that. Everything was bad. Everything fell apart at, like, the exact same game.
Yeah. I mean, is there any, like, good thing that you can pull from that game?
That it's over? I
will give Jake Voracek some credit. I thought he played pretty hard the whole game.
Yeah, you know what, that's a good point.
Well, despite the Flyers not showing up on Saturday night, the NHL is in fact in full swing, and it's time to think about what bets you want to make before they drop the puck each night. And the perfect place to go for that is our friends at BetOnline.
Yeah, and it's not just hockey. The Super Bowl is coming up with all kinds of bets available. Plus, the NBA has games every night, and there are just so many other sports to wager on. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus.
And check out all of the other NHL bets they have, including individual player performances, three-way bets, grand salami, so much more. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from all of our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Danielle, let's turn our attention to some other big NHL news out of Flyers land, try and cleanse our palate of that game Saturday night. After much speculation, Pierre-Luc Dubois was finally traded out of Columbus, and lo and behold, it was to the Winnipeg Jets for Patrick Laine, also big trade rumors swirling around him for a long time. So it was kind of interesting that they were traded for each other. Along with Patrick Laine, Jack Roslovic was included, and Winnipeg received a third round pick in the 2022 draft as well. So have you been following that whole drama with Dubois and Tortorella and all that fun stuff?
Not really. I just didn't think there was any way that they would actually trade him. And I'm not a huge Blue Jackets fan, so I tend to not really stay up to date on the drama. But I have been following the Laine rumors because I do like Winnipeg and I really like Patrick Laine. So, oh, man. Overall, I just feel so bad for Patrick Laine.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like, you know, and a lot of people will say this, that Winnipeg and Columbus are very similar in terms of being markets that get dumped on a lot and sort of as labeled as places where players don't want to be. And you see like a lot of people wanting out of both markets, whether it's for management purposes or like players don't want to play for Tortorella currently, mm-hmm. or whatnot. So to see them have a sort of a blockbuster deal between the two of them, it's like, are they both still going to be unhappy?
Yeah.
You know,
I will say, I think that Winnipeg is definitely better than Ohio. I mean, again, I'm biased in that sense, but I also just think of how you look at the team. You know, I think that Pierre-Luc Dubois will have good opportunities in Winnipeg. I feel like it's a good team around him versus Columbus. I don't know if I necessarily think that's true. I mean, with Laine, it always just seemed like he just wanted a quality center that would be able, that he could consistently play with. And yeah, they traded that center that they had in Columbus for Laine. So at the end of the day, he still doesn't get to play with a quality center. No offense to any of the centers in Columbus. I just, you know, yeah. All their really good players, they played with Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yep. So, and now he's gone, obviously. So,
yeah, and the crazy part is that Winnipeg, the one thing that Laine wanted was a center, which they finally got, a young, up-and-coming, very good center to play behind Mark Scheifele, and Laine's not even here to benefit from it. So my heart goes out to him.
Yeah. I think, you know, from a Flyers fan perspective, I know a lot of people were really interested in getting Patrick Laine, and even, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois was of interest to some people as well. I think, you know, based on the rumors available, the Flyers were being asked to overpay for both of them. Especially in the Laine situation where supposedly they were asking for Travis Konechny and Ivan Provorov, which is bat crazy, you know.
Yeah, that there was no way that could happen. And honestly, I'm happy that Chuck didn't even entertain that because I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And also, given the current needs of the team, I would, if they're going to take a risk on a big deal, it better be for a defenseman, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the other kind of big story in the NHL is some COVID updates with especially the Washington Capitals in focus, where four players were sat because of COVID precautions. Ilya Samsonov had a positive test, but Alexander Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Dmitry Orlov are also out for four games total due to them congregating in a hotel room together, breaking the protocols.
You know, this is a hard one. I was trying to think about this from both point of views. I get the NHL's point of view in this, and I also get the Caps and the players' point of view. I mean, Ovi's wife talked about how, like, they hug and laugh and they're very close to each other on the bench, but outside, they're not supposed to be close to each other at all. They're always supposed to be wearing masks, and they're not even allowed to be in each other's rooms. So there's really no place besides open areas where they're able to hang out. And so that could be very isolating, even more like an emotional toll on the players by having to be so isolated. But I understand why they are doing it. And the fact that the NHL fined the Caps, I definitely think that, you know, they were trying to set the tone because, you know, if you break the rules, there has to be something, like, you have to be reprimanded. So it's just a sticky situation. I mean, even with the other teams that haven't had this type of situation, but it's just, I don't know. Like, everyone who was doubting why they're coming back and, like, how this is going to happen, like, a lot of the situations people were talking about are happening.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, I agree with you that, you know, just from a reason and rational standpoint, I understand both sides of the argument here that, you know, it seems weird that the Caps are being overly punished, you know, when these guys are together on the bench, they're together on the ice without masks. Like, what's the big deal? But, you know, ultimately, these are the rules. These are the rules that they agreed to. And the NHL feels obligated to enforce these rules because they have to show that they're being strict, because they're getting all these government exceptions in Canada for travel and all this other stuff, that if they don't show that they're enforcing their own rules, those governments can be like, oh, sorry, we're going to tell you have to quarantine to travel between provinces in Canada now.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, I get why they're being strict with this enforcement. And then, you know, when you look at the situation in Dallas, where, you know, they just started playing because they were shut down due to COVID cases, and then Carolina got shut down as well. They got shut down but not fined because they did everything right and cases still happened. So even though the situations may seem more dire there, it wasn't because they did anything against the rules.
Yeah, and people were saying, like, the fact that Dallas and Carolina's, their games got postponed, whereas the Caps didn't. It was the fact that there was one Caps player that was confirmed positive, and whereas, like, in the other teams, there were multiple players positive. So that's why the Caps games were able to continue playing.
Yeah, and thankfully, you know, the Flyers have just had the one case with Shane Gostisbehere to deal with and haven't had these bigger issues. But, you know, it's very likely that they will. So it's good to pay attention to how the league is managing it in other places.
Agreed.
So the final big bombshell news league-wide was that NBC Sports is going to close up shop by the end of this year.
This is so crazy to me. Like, what is going to happen? How am I going to watch hockey?
Yeah, so apparently they're going to move some things to USA Network at some point. That information is unclear, but that, you know, with some of the sports that channel carries, they're going to potentially move some stuff over to Peacock, their streaming network. And in the meantime, I think that the NHL is in a decent position because their broadcast agreements are up. So, you know, it could be that starting next season, the NHL is on ESPN or a combination of ESPN and Fox and, you know, something else. Who knows? But, you know, I think from a big picture perspective, the NHL is going to be fine. But it's just unfortunate because I feel like this has just sort of been a, you know, people understood where and how to get their hockey on TV mm-hmm. from a national perspective. And now things are kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, according to Michael Barkan, the regional sports networks are currently not affected. Now, that could change, but the NBC Sports Philadelphia channel will remain as it has been, and they'll continue to show Phillies, Sixers, and Flyers games.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, with all of this crazy news in the NHL, it's good to know that if I need to stress eat, I've got Built Bars handy. And the thing about Built Bars is that it's a protein bar, but it tastes so good. So you feel like you're getting a treat. There's, you know, so many amazing flavors, something for everyone, no matter what you like, whether you like chocolate, whether you don't. I like a couple of the newer flavors, lemon almond cheesecake and carrot cake. They're so delicious and they make me feel like it's okay to just have that snack.
I love the caramel brownie. And, you know, it's healthy, so you don't feel any guilt. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in something that actually tastes good and is really good for you. I don't know how they do it, but they combine low calorie, low sugar with high protein and high fiber. So it'll keep you fuller longer. And it's great for any type of diet you're on, or if you're just trying to eat healthy, or if you're on the keto diet. Built Bar is for you.
So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Well, trying to look ahead in the schedule, the Flyers have got a couple games versus the New Jersey Devils this week, and we're here for you to get ready with a special crossover episode with our friend Trey from the Locked On Devils podcast. We'll get into all their offseason moves and players to look out for on the Devils for our two-game series. So we talked in a few previous episodes about the National Women's Hockey League. We had Metropolitan Riveters head coach Ivo Motek on to talk about their season and preparing for the bubble and, you know, player development in their interesting circumstances. And the season got going this past weekend. And, such good hockey action. I feel like overloaded with amazing women's hockey. Did you have a chance to see any of it?
I catched a bit of the Riveters and Toronto matchup. I haven't watched the Whitecaps yet, but I'm planning on it. There's a couple of matchups I definitely want to see.
Yeah, I think my big takeaway from the game so far, and, you know, as of recording, they've had three games into the season, but there's definitely more from this past weekend. And you can watch replays of all of them on Twitch. They have their own channel, the twitch.com/NWHL. Such good stuff. The big story for me was goaltending. Like, all the goalies were standing on their heads throughout the course of the game. You know, Sonia Shelley for the Riveters, Amanda Lavallée for the Whitecaps. Just unbelievable action and, you know, really great saves. Kelly Babstock, I think, who plays for the Riveters, I think endeared herself to a lot of fans because she spends a lot of time in the penalty box. That is her reputation and well-deserved. But she also saved a huge goal. Like, the puck had gotten behind the goaltender and she just dove and saved it from going in the net. Leila Kilduff got two goals for the Riveters. That's like the most goals she's ever had in her life. She's a defenseman. And but just the atmosphere was great. The broadcast was great. The ice was great. The whole neutral zone was purple for Hockey Fights Cancer. I just, like, I couldn't get over how much fun they did everything, especially, you know, obviously fans can't be there, but they had all the cardboard cutouts in there, different sections for each team's supporters, and unbelievable good stuff from the NWHL so far.
Yeah, I mean, it was so fun to watch. There's something about a tournament style game where it's like every game is game seven. Like,
yeah, it really is quite an adjustment. The different
and this
style
was their first
game.
That was like great. I was not expecting at least selecting this good of goaltending, and it was like the first game of the season for a lot of these teams.
Yep. And, you know, especially on Saturday, we saw some surprising victories. I think, you know, the Toronto Six are a brand new team, but it was nice to see the Riveters pull one out. Mm-hmm. And then the Whitecaps versus the Pride, you know, that would have been the Isabel Cup championship last season, but it was canceled due to COVID. And so it was good to see the Whitecaps pull that one out over Boston. Like, at least some Boston team lost that day. And then the Buffalo-Connecticut game went to a shootout. Like, first game out of the gate, like, super close game, went to overtime, went to the shootout where Connecticut Whale won. So looking forward to all the action. And again, you can find all of it on their Twitch channel up until we get to the championship rounds, which will be on NBC Sports. All right, so it's time for our Flyers Nemesis of the Week. And if you're newer to the program, each Monday we try to identify who or what in hockey is our nemesis for the Flyers for the upcoming week. Last week we talked about the media types who can't take what they dish out related to the Jake Voracek post-game press conference that will live in infamy. This week, I mean, going back to kind of the pattern that's emerging right here, I got to say it's the Flyers' defense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, honestly.
There's so much that I think, you know, and we'll get into it when we're previewing the series against the Devils, but I think that's going to be the big focus that we're looking for improvement on from the Flyers for these next few games. Can they get it together? Can they stop, you know, puck watching? Can they figure out where to be on the ice to make sure that, you know, the opposing teams aren't getting quality shots? And, you know, you can say that it's a Phil Myers being gone problem. We'll see what happens if Shane Gostisbehere gets slotted back in the lineup, how that affects the D pairings. I think that needs a little bit of a shakeup. But, you know, it's looking more and more like adding Erik Gustafsson and re-signing Justin Braun maybe wasn't the best off-season moves to make. But again, what else could they have done? I don't know at this point. But we will definitely have to keep an eye on it, and they are our nemesis of the week. Wrapping things up with our Flyers fun thing, there was a little note about Oscar Lindblom's helmet that he got a special dispensation from the NHL to put a Hockey Fights Cancer sticker on his helmet for the whole season, which I think is a really great thing. They're kind of weird with all these rules about what you can and can't put on your helmet, which I get, you know, from a marketing or consistency standpoint, but I'm glad they made an exception for him because, you know, it's just been so important to him to show support for other cancer patients.
Yeah, I completely agree. Oscar's so sweet. Like, he's just so sweet.
He is. All right. Well, thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow, like we said, with our crossover with Trey from Locked On Devils. As a reminder, we want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions or your thoughts via Twitter at Locked On Flyers or by email to LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam. Thanks for listening and have a great day.